Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Guess what day it is?
I'm going to go on a limb. Say hump
anybody?
Day.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Hump day.
Listen, guess what today is?
Hump day.
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
David Humboldt.
It is hump day in the doghouse. Welcome in, everyone. Good day in the sports world today, or as I like to call it, the toy factory of life. Because, you know, we're really blessed to be able to talk about this for the next 4 hours. It's all we get to do. You know what I mean? We don't have to worry about, you know, mayors having to resign like in Nashville and other awful things that are going on and the stuff going on with the government and taxes and, you know, everything else. No. We get to live in the toy department of life for 4 hours. For 4 hours, we get to kind of bury ourselves in this stuff. And I'm glad that you've joined us for this four-hour fun ride. The SEC tournament getting underway tonight in St. Louis with Georgia and Vandy at 6, followed by last year's Final Four team, South Carolina, taking on Ole Miss. In Tuscaloosa, Alabama conducted their pro day today. I mean, it's quite the meat market for all the NFL guys there, and there were a ton of NFL reps there, in many cases head coaches, and in some cases fired college coaches, which was weird. Why was Brett Bielema there? Why was Rich Rodriguez there? And how ironic was it that Rich Rod was there? Since it was his decision to pass on the Alabama job in 2006 that opened up the door for Nick Saban to take that gig. And who knows if Rich Rod takes the Alabama job, then does Nick Saban end up at Michigan 2 years later, terrorizing the Big Ten? I mean, Saban's, you know, at heart, he's a Big Ten guy, right? Michigan State, he played at the, up there, Kent State. And is Urban Meyer still at Florida? Man, how that one moment in time changed the entire landscape of college football. Bill Belichick was there, Marvin Lewis, Matt Patricia, Mike Tomlin, and Mike Vrabel were amongst the NFL coaches that I saw. Anyway, there were more there, but those were the ones that I saw in the coverage. Belichick never misses visiting his old DC, Nick Saban. You know, he loves going there. And Belichick also, he'll jump in there and he'll kind of like run a couple of DB drills and things like that. He'll say, hey, I want to see this guy go through the bags this way over here. Let me say this too about Mike Vrabel. If the Titans ever got in a fight with another team, you know, and the coaches jump in, like if they pull up on the bus and they get off the bus and the other team is there and they meet them and they want to fight, you know, that doesn't usually happen. But I'm just saying, if the teams ever got in a fight and the coaches squared off, I'm taking Vrabel over every coach in the league. I'm a Titan fan. Know this. Your coach could beat up any other coach in the league, right? Who would you take against Vrabel? I mean, seriously. Who? Mike Tomlin? Who? Who? Chucky would just hire somebody, put the hit out. But who would you take against Vrabel? I think your coach could beat up anybody in the league, any other coach in the league. The only problem would be is if Mike Tomlin sent Mike Munchak in to represent him. That might get a little bit scrappy. Munch is up there now, man. No, I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say the Titans coach could beat up all the other coaches in the NFL. Well, see, that's something. As weird as it was seeing Rich Rod there, nothing was stranger than seeing Lyle Jones in crimson and white gear. I mean, it was just so weird. I posted the picture at the Twitter feed. I mean, the funny thing is he's not even hired yet. Did Butch buy that pullover? Did he, like, stop at that, you know, Bama Fever or something like that and pick up a Bama pullover? Or did somebody give him that? Because it was funny. Nick Saban said regarding the hiring of Butch Jones, he said, I don't know where that's at. We have issues that we need to go through to be able to hire somebody from another school. I haven't gotten a report on where that is right now. We're interested in him being a part of our staff. Hey, Nick, Butch Jones is over there wearing a Alabama pullover. I mean, what do you think he did? He stopped at, like, the Tide store? Hey, let me pick up an Alabama pullover. Person working the counter is like, wait a minute, didn't I just see you on the Jumbotron at Neyland Stadium? Oh, no, that came down. No, I was there last week. Didn't you get fired like 4 months ago? Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm not up there anymore. So I'm going to go ahead and buy one of these Alabama pullovers. Breaks out as credit cards, got a big power T on it. Well, why does your credit card from the First National of Knoxville Bank have a big power T on it, Coach? Well, I just haven't opened up my – that T stands for – Tuscaloosa. I haven't opened up my Tuscaloosa account yet. Gets a crayon out. You know, he colors the power T crimson. It just looks so weird. So what is he going to be? The coordinator of bricklayers? Coordinator of sayings? What is he going to do? All right, Butch, what would you do in this situation? Well, I think I would run the sprint draw. Okay, we're throwing the ball. Hey, Butch would be on the headsets. Hey, Butch, we got him at 3rd and 6 right now. What do you think? Oh, I'd go cover zero and bring, weak side blitz. All right, we're playing zone. What do you do? Whatever Butch says, you do something else, right? Butch, it's 3rd and short. What do you think? Oh, I'd throw the fade. Saban, run the ball. That's just ugly, man. I shouldn't be that way. If you have an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll-free, 866-485-9867. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well, consisting of our Twitter feed at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow, please, if you'd like. I mean, if you don't, you don't, but I wouldn't mind you doing it. Facebook fan page, throw us a like at Facebook.com/ Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW. That's 732-982-7469, for those of you that are digitally challenged. Doghouse inbox is in, tom@tomabraham.com. That's open as well for you. Don't forget to follow the ump on the Twitter, @umpsports, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/umpsports. Just don't say anything ugly about me there, please. My bosses read that, maybe. And online at umpsports.com. You know, the star of that pro day really is Scott Cochran. I mean, I've never seen so many impressive-looking athletes. I'm not sure how guys like Tony Brown and Bo Scarborough and Robert Foster will do in the pros, but the dudes look like Adonises out there. I mean, I'm comfortable enough in my male sexuality to say, man, those dudes look good. Forget six-packs. They got like 8-packs rolling. And Scarborough may be the most interesting. I mean, is he Derrick Henry? Is he LeGarrette Blount? Or is he going to just be a full-time IR guy? Is he Trent Richardson? I don't think so. Tom Luganville raved about Bo's ability to catch the ball, saying that back when he was at the Under Armour game coming out of high school, he spent the entire week as a wideout. He was with the wide receivers in the Under Armour game. And he has great ball skills and catches the ball wonderfully. Derrick Henry doesn't do that. I mean, he does it okay, but he doesn't do that. I mean, that's not his forte. You take a guy like Bo Scarborough, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, I don't know. I don't know. Alabama will have a first-round pick for the 10th straight year, breaking the tie with Florida behind the 14 straight years that Miami did it from the mid-90s to the mid-2000s. Some of you forget how crazy Miami's talent was back in the day. Miami 1 year had, I think, 11 first-round draft picks. I might have just made that up. I put the crack research team in it. I might have just made that up, but I might not have. I think they had 11 first-round draft picks 1 year, Miami. But for 14 straight years, sometime beginning about, 93, 94, 95, somewhere in there, for 14 straight years, they had a first-rounder. Alabama will hit 10 this year. They're tied right now with Florida at 9. Can Alabama go 4 more to tie Miami? They probably got them on the team right now, don't you think? You think Alabama has a first-round draft pick in the 2019 draft, in the 2020 draft, right now on their – I think so. Todd McShay's latest mock is out. He has joined the masses who have Minkah Fitzpatrick as the first tighter off the board. But he's got him off the board at 4 to Cleveland, as do several others. He still has Sam Darnold number 1. Because he's, quote, the safest QB in this draft, end quote. I mean, it's not really a ringing endorsement, is it? The most polarizing guy in this draft continues to be Baker Mayfield. According to a story at CBSSports.com, one NFL head coach whose team interviewed Mayfield at the Combine called the Heisman winner, quote, over-the-top cocky, end quote, after rolling his eyes when asked his biggest takeaway following an impressive workout alongside Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. 24/7 Sports NFL analyst Sam Quinn calls Mayfield a, quote, high-risk, high-reward, end quote, prospect. That seems to be the overwhelming narrative coming from NFL camps, now 7 weeks out from the draft. McShay has Mayfield at 11 to Miami. I've seen others that have Mayfield at 4 to Cleveland. I see him taking Shaquon Barkley at 1 and Mayfield at 4. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. We're going to get into some of these mocks today because there's interesting things. You know, remember last week, well, the Browns are going to trade the 1 and the 4 to the Colts for Andrew Luck. And then the Colts are going to have 3 of the first 4 picks in the draft. I'm like, what? I mean, really? I mean, if Andrew Luck is 100% healthy, you guarantee me Andrew Luck is healthy, would you trade the first round, the first pick and the fourth pick in the first round for Andrew Luck? Maybe. Now there's one that says that the Giants are so in love with Josh Allen that the Giants are going to trade up to the 1 with Cleveland. Because, you know, that's what Cleveland does. They bailed on a quarterback, your franchise quarterback, for Carson Wentz. Let Philly take Carson Wentz, and then they bailed last year for, you know, Deshaun Watson. Let the Texans take Deshaun Watson. So just talk about Cleveland jumping out of the 1 spot to allow the Giants to go in there and take Josh. And then Cleveland would take, like, Bradley Chubb. And then at 2, and then at 4, they would take Baker Mayfield. So, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff coming out of there. But I'm just going to say this about that. By the way, Todd McShay has South Dakota State tight end Dallas Goedert to the Titans at 25. Goedert is the best tight end in this draft, but there's not a lot of good tight ends in this draft. Is that what the Titans need with a first-round draft pick, a tight end? I'm not down with that one. Keep in mind, we spent a lot of time talking about the first round, but this isn't the NBA, kids. NFL teams are built in the 2nd through 5th rounds. Sometimes not the sexiest of names, but that's where your team comes from. Also, this note coming out of the NFL. The Seahawks have traded Michael Bennett and his punter's shoulder pads to the Eagles, or will trade them when the league year opens next week. Like March 14th or something, they can consummate these trades. But the Seahawks are sending Michael Bennett to the Eagles with the 7th round pick for a 5 and a player. Also, Richard Sherman thinks he's done in Seattle. He said goodbye to all his teammates. We're going to kick things off today with our bracketologist, Greg Peterson, from My Guys in the Desert, trying to sort out what various teams have to do and where they're going to be slotted in the big dance. In the three, we open with open lines, followed by Alan Carpenter of TomahawkTake.com with a Braves spring training report. 3 weeks till opening day, kids. Why am I calling you guys kids? Now all of a sudden you're my kids? What, why? God, I get hung up on these things, and then that's it. In the four, Bo Estes from NBA TV and NBA.com is in, followed by Motorsports Hall of Famer Larry Woody joining us on the latest class of nominees for the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which includes Jeff Gordon. That's a lead pipe first ballot cinch, isn't it? There's only a 2-year waiting list in NASCAR. Great night of puck last night, too, man. Great night of puck last night. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. Man behind a curtain playing the stacks of whack on a platter of matter, answering the phones, pushing the buttons, keeping us on the air for the most part, booking the show, doing that thing that he does in our Palacio Lump Studios. He's part Italian. He's part Mexican. Maybe he's part Puerto Rican. He's part mutt. His license says Antonio Macbethas. He's Tony Macaroni.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Here's my brown eyes.
You know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
What do you call yourself? King, queen, princess, whatever you are?
The Italian style.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wok, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
You don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
You can act like a man. What the matter with you?
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
I think this is one of the traits of a really good producer. Keep the talent happy.
I mean, that guy sounds like L. McPherson farting into Miles Davis's trumpet.
Should be a friggin' investigation.
I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I think you're a psycho.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Say hello to my little friend.
Italian style.
By the way, T-Mac, have you ever?
Oh, no.
Are you aware of Chico and the Man at all? I mean, I play that Chico and the Man every day. Do you even know what Chico and the Man is?
You asked me this like my first or second day because that was, you know, the song you played and it was kind of a dynamic we have. I didn't know until you told me, but isn't it like an old TV show?
It's a 70s. So you never went back. Will you do me a favor? Will you? You're a little bit of a geek when it comes to watching shows on the computer and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Go. It's a 70s sitcom, Chico and the Man.
Chico.
And it's about an old man, that would be me, and a young guy, that would be you. And he's a grump, that would be me, okay? And the young guy is like an eternal optimist, that would be you. And he's not that hard to understand. I mean, I should play the whole song for you sometime. This was back in the day when TV shows used to have theme songs, you know what I mean? That told a story. But you ought to go someday, you want to laugh, you have a scream, just go onto YouTube and watch one scene or a half an episode. It's only a half-hour show. Watch an episode of Chico and the Man, and you'll get a kick out of that.
I will definitely check that out. I like sitcoms. I don't know how old I've gone back and watched. I've watched some pretty old stuff with my stepdad. He likes the Married with Children. What's the Sanford and Son? I've seen a few Sanford and Sons.
Oh, I love Sanford and Son. I always was a Red Fox guy. I mean, I've always a big Red Fox guy.
It's a funny dude, man.
Yeah,
goofy, funny. Yeah, I can dig it if it's any. I'm not saying it'll be similar to that, but if it follows along the lines of stuff like that, I'll probably be into it.
No, I think you would like it. It ran in the mid 70s from 74 to 78, and Jack Albertson was Ed Brown. He's the man, and he's like he owns this rundown garage in East L.A. in the Barrio, and then in the show, by the way, he commits suicide after in the third season. That's not a good part of it. That's not good. I'm not going to commit suicide. I just want you to do this. I just want you to understand I'm not committing suicide. So, you know, don't look for that to happen. But Freddie Prinze is Chico Rodriguez, who is this upbeat young Chicano. He comes in here, he gets a job. It was the first TV series, United States television series, that was set in a Mexican-American neighborhood. They never had done that before. And it was actually started, the inspiration behind it was Cheech and Chong. Cheech Marin and Tommy Chong.
I mean, is it a little more G-rated than that? But I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Yeah. I'm just assuming it is.
It's way G-rated. And you know who does the song? I mean, you know who that is?
Chico, don't be discouraged.
You know who that is?
No.
You know who that is? It's Jose Feliciano. Have you heard of Jose Feliciano?
I just think of Feliz Navidad when you say that, just because.
Jose
Feliciano. I don't know
Jose
who that is.
Feliciano, man.
Am I supposed to know that guy?
Della Reese was in the show. Do you know who Della Reese is?
I feel
Scatman
bad.
Scatman Crothers? You know who Scatman Crothers is?
I feel bad for saying no, even though I expect you to think my answer is going to be no, even though you're making me feel bad for it. But no, I have no idea who the hell these people are.
You're killing me. Can't believe that.
December of 91, Big Dog. That's when I was born.
Well, and by the way, I didn't want to mislead you there. It wasn't the old man that commits suicide. It was Freddie Prinze who actually committed suicide. Freddie Prinze was Chico Rodriguez in the thing. And in the third season, he actually shot himself in 1977, and he died at the age of 22 years old, Freddie Prinze.
Wow.
Yeah, and his son, am I lying? His son is somebody now, an actor that you would know, I think. I'll have to look that one up. I'm not sure. But I think his son is the Prinze guy, Freddie Prinze Jr.? I think Freddie Prinze Jr. is his son. You know who that is, don't you?
Absolutely, I know who Freddie Prinze Jr. is.
I'm pretty sure that's his kid. Let me just see. Personal life, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. So Freddie Prinze Jr. is his son, who was born in 1976, less than a year before he died.
And his dad committed suicide? I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze, the original. I mean, Freddie Prinze, the original. But, yeah, he suffered from depression and things like that, and then he committed suicide. It was a very sad time. Because I mean, he was 22 years old when you know. Their given name, by the way, is Pritzel. Frederick Carl Pritzel is the given name.
Pritzel.
Right, a German name.
I like mine with
German
with a little salt and cheese.
Yeah, his mother was Puerto Rican and his father was a Hungarian immigrant. The Prinzes. All right. Anyway, so that's from me. That's a little Big Dog manouge. That's from me going to you and to our listeners. Give me your.
All right, well, I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to start in 2016 with Peyton Manning announcing his NFL retirement. It has been.
Is it any of this yesterday's manouge? Did you have to?
No, I did not carry over. But you covered half of it yesterday anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
In 2016, Peyton Manning announced his retirement from the NFL. In 1996, Magic Johnson becomes the second player to record 10,000 assists.
Not in one night, though. That would have been a record.
Yeah, and I doubt he would have only been the second. I doubt he would have been the second. He'd probably been number one.
Well, you never know. Will Chamberlain, you know, he had a lot of assists himself, if you know what I'm saying.
Now, this is in one season, Big Dog, and it's really, really impressive. Wayne Gretzky breaks his own NHL record from the year before with his 136th assist of the season. He finished that season with 163, which is the most all-time. He owns the top 11 and 12 out of 13 best assist seasons, single season assists in the entire NHL.
I wish you could have seen a dude play, man.
Ridiculous,
I mean, I really do.
Man.
I mean, you read those. I mean, you want to talk about Babe Ruth. I mean, he is Babe Ruth. I mean, you know, when Babe Ruth set the home run record, You know, when he came into the league, the career home run record was like 127. When Babe Ruth left, it was 714. You know what I mean? He just changed that. The single season home run record was like 21, and Babe Ruth broke it almost like every year of his career. That's what Wayne Gretzky was.
It's insane to read these records, and it just sounds like none of this stuff's ever going to be topped.
No, no, no. And now that you're a hockey fan, you understand just how crazy, I mean, that was. I mean, you think about a 200-point season. They only play 82 games. The guy scored 2 points a night every single night and some nights three. Every single night. I mean, one season, I think he had 92 goals or something like that. That's a goal every single night he scored a goal. That's crazy.
That's unbelievable.
Insane. Yeah.
And, you know, and now that I'm a hockey fan, I'm starting to realize how impressive the longest winning streak is in the NHL. What is it? I can't remember what it is now. Is it like 17 games or something like that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know that the Preds got their longest winning streak last night with 10.
Exactly. I think it's 9 for the Preds.
Nine, yeah, yeah. That's, I keep wanting to think it was 9 going in, but yeah, you're right.
Just thinking about them winning 9 in a row is crazy. And now thinking that somebody's topped that is even more insane. But a couple more here. 1982, this is important because there's been a change to the selection show in college basketball. But in 1982, the NCAA tourney selection show was televised for the first time.
Yeah, and they're going to do it by alphabetical order
yeah.
this year?
There's one.
That's stupid.
One upside to that. Alabama finds out pretty quick, you know.
No, that's stupid.
No, it's very dumb.
I don't want to, because then you know. You're going to stop watching. See, if you're an Alabama fan. And they're already on Butler. You get the hell with it. I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't like that. Auburn fan, boom. Oh, there's Auburn. Boom. Now I'm done.
They're revealing the names in the first 10 minutes of the school. The names of the schools who gets in, first 10 minutes of the show.
And that's fine. I like that. No, it's a but oh, well, that part, 2 hours.
It's a 2-hour show.
Yeah. I'd like them to get after it. You know what I mean? But don't do it alphabetically. That's dumb.
But I want to see him do it. I want to see him reveal the teams by their matchup by matchup.
Exactly.
That's not how they're doing it. They're revealing the names of the teams first in alphabetical order, and then they're revealing the bracket afterwards.
Dumb.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
A couple birthdays today, really quick. Both 58 years old, both born in 1960. Ivan Lendl. Lindell, excuse me. 58 years old today.
Ivan Lendl? You're talking about the tennis player?
Yeah, the hockey player.
Ivan Lendl, yeah. I played golf with him once.
Wow. He's 58 years old today. I don't know if you play golf with this guy, but he did hit a walk-off World Series home run in 1993. Joe Carter was born today.
I did not, but I remember exactly where I was when he hit that. I'll tell you about it off air.
Oh, God, okay. I'm looking forward to that. I was probably drooling somewhere. I wasn't even 2 years old, so.
You're probably getting your diaper changed or something.
Well, that's your minutiae.
All right, man. It's a good job by you. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, we'll get things started with Greg Peterson. We'll see if he thinks it's dumb, the selection show thing. We'll be back. It's the Tom Abraham Show. We're rolling. Did you learn something today about Chico and the Men? This is 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Urology Centers of Alabama, a proud sponsor of Alabama Athletics, providing state-of-the-art urological care at 13 locations across Alabama. To find a specialist, visit urologycentersalabama.com. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Brad Bohannon's Alabama baseball team is back in action tonight in Tuscaloosa. The title play host to Southern Miss. 6 o'clock will be the first pitch. Lee Tracy will have the call on the network beginning at 5:55. Bama guard Colin Sexton has become just the second player in men's basketball history at Alabama to earn Freshman of the Year honors. He shared that award with Kentucky's Kevin Knox. Sexton was also named to the second team All-SEC and All-Freshman teams. Meanwhile, Dante Hall was selected to the league's All-Defensive team. The Alabama basketball team is back in action, facing off against Texas A&M in the SEC tournament Thursday at noon. Radio coverage on the network begins at 11. I'll have more in a moment.
It's 2018, and if your business is outdoors, SunSouth John Deere has the equipment to get you running and keep you running. With 21 locations across Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, SunSouth provides championship customer service for all the best John Deere compact tractors, riding lawn mowers, and gators for any job. Act now to get a John Deere 4044M compact tractor for as low as $199 a month, and visit SunSouth, the preferred tractor of the Crimson Tide, or shop online online at sunsouth.com. Offer ends February 28, 2018. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Alabama football will host its annual Pro Day today. It takes place at 11 a.m. will be televised on the SEC Network from 11 until 2. And gymnastics standout Lexi Graber has been named the SEC Freshman of the Week. The Alabama rookie won the all-around against North Carolina with a career-best score of 39.550. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide today, brought to you by Urology Centers of Alabama, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Valley Equipment Rental is a family-owned and operated business proudly serving all the Tennessee Valley. Basing the business on you, the customer, Valley Equipment Rental caters to do-it-yourselfers, contractors, landscapers, and homeowners. No job is too big or too small. You'll find the right equipment at the right price at Valley Equipment Rental. Call today, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Or online at valleyequipmentrents.com.
For 3 days only, you will find amazing bargains at Madison RV sell-off sale. Last month's sale was so successful, we're loaded with premium units taken in trade. Madison RV is also restocked with 2019 and will still honor factory discounts. Make an offer on the RV you want. Travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, all ready for your inspection. These premium units are marked way down. 3 days only at Madison RV, off of 565 by the airport.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's the college basketball Patriot League championship game between Colgate and Bucknell. Coverage will start at 6:15 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
Migraine is a disabling disease affecting over 36 million Americans. The American Migraine Foundation helps people living with migraine to find the support and treatment they need. Make your move against migraine at AmericanMigraineFoundation.org.
Breezy and very cool today. The sky partially sunny, the high at 50. A cold night tonight, clear with a freeze likely early tomorrow morning, the average low around 30. Then for tomorrow and Friday, the sky sunny both days, the high tomorrow 48. Not as cold on Friday, the high at 59. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
I remember waiting for the school bus. Jenny Clayton was my first crush, and neither one of us had
a clue. Tom Abraham Show. Greg Peterson does an excellent job, bracketologist for my guys in the desert, and for us as well, our guys right here. And he joins us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Greg, welcome back. How are you?
Great to be back. I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm great, and there's a whole different group of people hearing you now for the first time because we swapped your time slot around, so there's a bunch of people that don't know your work and don't know what a great job that you do for us, as well as my guys in the desert talking brackets. But I got to get your opinion. We're talking about this before the break. This new system of unveiling the brackets on Sunday, where they're going to do it alphabetically, I think it's absolutely asinine. I mean, I think it's stupid. I want to see the reveal by region and so on. What was your take on it?
And I think that if you did it for, like, the slam dunk teams by alphabetical order, I could maybe see that. But at the same time, you want to see who's going to be in that first four game where it's like, will Syracuse get in the tournament? Will Louisville get in the tournament? Teams like that. And now it's going to be lacking a little bit more. So, I mean, the parity just isn't there where it was before. So I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, and because we're in a state with that has, you know, Alabama and Auburn. So it's like the drama is going to be over in the first, like, minute. You know what I mean? As soon as they get to, you know, Butler, then okay, well, turn that damn thing off. I guess they didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're in, like, the worst state for it. I mean, in the A's, I mean, it's like, yeah, no, never mind. I guess Alabama's in the field. I guess Alabama's on the field. I can tune out now. So the good news is if you have dinner reservations, they won't be in danger.
No, they will not be in danger. We know Auburn's going to be there. Is Auburn a 3 seed if they win the SEC tournament? Is Auburn a 3 seed if they get upset on Friday by Alabama or Texas A&M?
It's really interesting looking at this team. I currently have Auburn actually as my last 2 seed right now. But with that said, I think that they need to get to the SEC semifinals in order to keep that spot, because currently it's right in between them and Michigan State for that final number 2 seed. I think that Auburn, if they are able to make the SEC tournament final, they're probably going to be a 2 seed. Anything else, most likely a 3.
Okay, let's talk about Alabama then. Where do you have men or not? Joe Lunardi, I think, has them playing in the 11-11 game against UCLA. Jerry Palm is a friend of the show. He has them not even in his first four out. He has them, you know, they got to go at least beat Auburn to get in, and that won't even guarantee it. Where does Greg Peterson have Alabama right now?
They are my last team in. So there is a lot of pressure on them tomorrow to go win, because if they do not win tomorrow, Alabama is done and heading to the NIT. If they're able to win, I would say 2 games in the SEC tournament, they're safe. If they win 1 game, prepare to sweat on Selection Sunday.
What do you have men as then right now? Assuming, you know, they can hang, you know, get a win, are they in the first four, or are they in the actual tournament? Because I don't count the first four as being. Here's my theory: if I don't have to make that game out for my bracket, then you're not in the tournament. If I don't have to pick the frigging game, then you're not in the tournament. You know what I mean?
Well, under Tom Abraham theory, they're currently out, because I currently have them heading to Dayton for the first four.
Okay. Who would they be playing?
They would actually be playing Texas. Those two are right there neck and neck.
Yeah. Now, where do you have Auburn going? Because, you know, at one point it looked almost as a certainty that they would go to Nashville, which is now sold out their first two rounds, and it would be very, very convenient for Auburn fans. But I've seen them now in Dallas and other places. Where do you have them going?
In regards to the region, I still have them going to Nashville, but like you said, they could head to Dallas. It all depends on how this week really shakes out. And in all honesty, sometimes it just shakes out based on trying to avoid rematches. Because when you do these brackets, you want to make sure, hey, SEC teams won't meet until the Sweet 16, same for like ACC teams, things like that. So a lot of the region is going to depend on what teams actually get in and just avoiding those rematches.
All right, who are your top 4 seeds right now?
Right now you've got Virginia, Kansas, Xavier, and Villanova.
If Nova and Xavier play each other in the Big East Championship, then do they stay as ones no matter what happens?
I think that the loser of that game will probably drop to a 2 seed, and if the ACC tournament is won by either Duke or North Carolina, they will ascend to that 1 spot.
Oh, so you could see North Carolina climbing all the way into that 1 hole with a win in that tournament.
Yes, I certainly could. North Carolina has a lot of quadrant 1 wins. I know that they had some bad losses midseason to the likes of Virginia Tech and lost to Miami at home last week. But at the same time, North Carolina's overall body of work is very good.
How does for doing bracketology and figuring this out, and I assume you're predicting what you think the committee's going to do. This isn't really the way your bracket would be, because you don't have a vote. So I assume you're predicting the way these brackets will come out. How does the Big Ten being in the can already and being done with the four teams that they're going to put in the tournament, how does that impact it, do you think? Because now you don't have to worry about, you know, what might happen in that Big Ten tournament, which is going on while the committee is deciding. Do you think they've already decided, okay, Michigan State's a two or Purdue is here or, you know, Michigan is a four or those teams still fluid?
And they're still a little bit fluid based on what other teams do, but you already know, all right, here's Purdue's resume, here's Michigan's resume, teams like that, you know what they've done. So it makes it very helpful, and you pretty much know that the Big Ten's going to get in four teams because you don't have a bubble team playing in, like, the semifinals or the finals or anything like that. And let's face it, Nebraska and Penn State, they're not getting in the NCAA tournament. So you know that you're going to have four teams in from the Big Ten.
Right, right. Now, let's go back to the SEC for a minute. If Alabama beats Texas A&M tomorrow in a game that will be heard here on our air, Texas A&M's not in any danger, right? They're solidly in this deal?
Texas A&M, very solidly in the field. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No need to sweat.
All right. The reason I bring that up is that I have a theory for playing these games in the in the conference tournaments that teams that are really desperate, that really need a win to get in. I used this last night for Syracuse. I loved Syracuse -4.5 last night because, you know, it was so important for them. And even now I think they get, North Carolina. They need that game so bad to get into the tournament. They certainly needed to make sure that they covered that game, against Pitt to get into the tournament. Do you look at that a little bit, or is that a detriment if a team is gripping knowing that they have to be good in their in their conference tournament to get in?
I look at that a whole lot. I mean, we've got one of those games going on right now with Arizona State versus Colorado. You've got another one with NC State versus Boston College, though. Of course, NC State is laying an egg in this spot to diminish our theory, but at the same time, I was looking at that too with the Syracuse versus Wake Forest game. Wake Forest is a garbage team playing against a Syracuse team that badly needs wins in order to get into the NCAA tournament. Now, Syracuse has a lot of experience in the spot and has come up less than clutch, but at the same time, you knew that Syracuse was going to be out. They were going to be gunning, trying to get that win as badly as possible.
Yeah, I think I was juxtaposing Syracuse and Notre Dame. I think I said Pitt. It was Notre Dame, of course, that beat Pitt. And did not cover. I mean, they did not cover. That was too big a number, you know, for a tournament game like that. But now they get Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, and you look at them as a -1.5 or -2, and you wonder about that one tonight, whether or not you like Notre Dame there. Virginia Tech is pretty solid, obviously, and where they're going to be in the tournament. Does Notre Dame get them tonight, fighting to get into the big dance?
I just don't know about this Notre Dame team. I felt like they were overrated all season long. I mean, they're still adapting, getting Bozzy Colson back. You can tell that there are some growing pains with this team. They played Virginia very tough last week, but at the same time, this is the same team that lost to Ball State at home earlier in the year when Bozzy Colson was healthy. I actually like Virginia Tech in this spot.
All right. Any surprises that you think we're looking at here in these conference tournaments if you were going to go out on a limb with anything?
Well, the biggest surprise was Cleveland State making it all the way to the Rising League final. I mean, this is a team that was 9-22 in the regular season, and they came one game away from the NCAA tournament. This is why I always feel like it should be based on regular season record instead of having to play these conference tournaments because you get these lesser of these mid-majors. But I would say that's the biggest surprise to this point.
But that's so much fun for them. I mean, I used to be on here in Southwest Florida, and I got family that lives down there, and I was one of the broadcasters. I was the color commentator on the very first FGCU basketball game. And I did FGCU basketball for 3 years. And, you know, watching them rise up and then becoming Dunk City and all that kind of stuff. The one thing that is charming about those small tournaments is the fact that all those teams have a chance to go win that tournament and do what Lipscomb did, which I also did some of their games when I was in Nashville, but to do what Lipscomb did and win their way into the big dance. I mean, that is charming. It doesn't matter who wins. None of those teams are going anywhere anyway. So, you know, who cares if a 20-loss team makes it in?
That is so true. That is the pageantry of March. So that is an underrated aspect of these conference tournaments. You got to love to see teams like Charleston yesterday with them pulling off that dramatic win.
Yeah. All right, Greg, I appreciate you so much. I can't wait to talk next week when we got a bracket and to get your thoughts on that.
You bet. Happy to join you next week. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Greg Peterson, my guys in the desert, bracketologist. So, T-Mac, Brett Bielema is working with the Pats. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see much about it. I read a couple things. The first thing I read was back in January, they said he was weighing going back to the NFL as an assistant or taking a TV gig, and nothing really has come of that. But then I was trying to read about Alabama Pro Day, and it was talking about Bill Belichick. And then it said Bill Belichick accompanied by Brett Bielema, who was reportedly at the combine as well as a Patriots rep. So he might be repping with the Pats.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
How about that?
Right. All right. Let me get a break in here. It was, let's see, Rex and Aston said, we were talking about Joe Carter's home run. Didn't Joe Carter's home run lead indirectly to Donnie Moore's suicide? No, I don't think so. Donnie Moore's suicide comes off, it was indirectly, that was Dave Henderson's home run in Game 5 of the 1986 ALCS. I think that's the deal there. Because his Donnie Moore committed suicide, when was it? 1989. Yeah, that wouldn't have been because that was 1992. It wasn't that one. It was the Dave Henderson home run for the Boston Red Sox after the Angels blew that 3-1 lead in the series and a 5-2 lead in the ninth inning. And that's what ultimately led to Donnie Moore's depression and to his suicide. So you missed that one by that much. Donnie Moore was already dead 3 years by the time, you know, Joe Carter hit that home run. 4 years. Yeah.
Two suicides already on the show.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze original and Donnie Moore. Hey, let's not turn this into a suicide show.
That's what I'm saying, man. Let's give it some life.
Yeah. Nobody killing anybody or killing yourself. Stop it. More suicide talk on this show. You're bringing me down. This is a suicide pool. I mean, those are always fun in football, but that's good. Do they do suicide pools in the brackets? I don't know if they do. That'd be kind of cool. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back and wrap this hour up next right here on 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. With Tuesday's tag day in the rearview mirror, the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes is finally underway, and he kicked it off with a throwback Tuesday pick of himself as a high schooler and the caption, "Next week is now officially the first time since 2007 that I'll be choosing where to play football. I'm open to suggestions. Hashtag free agency." Now, one of his former teammates looked at that with some interest. D'Angelo Hall told ESPN, quote, "We kind of felt like the commitment wasn't there from Kirk," end quote. Uh-oh! On the surface, that is red hot lava questioning a former teammate's commitment. I'm fans of both these guys, but I'm gonna have to side with Kirk Cousins here. The team was not committed to him and not the other way around. If Bruce Allen had hit D'Angelo with DeAndre or DeAnthony or Dennis, I'm sure he'd feel the same way Kirk Cousins does now. I'm Jim Rome.
Everyone loves NCAA March Madness. You know why? Because it's also time for Werner Ladder Madness. That's right. During Ladder Madness, you can find great deals on Werner ladders. Whether you're looking for a new lightweight multi-purpose ladder, work platform, or the podium used to cut down the nets, if you need a ladder, now is the time. March is Ladder Madness. So get your Werner now. Go to GetWerner.com to find the best Werner products for you. That's GetWerner.com. March is Ladder Madness.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. Did you know that with the Loaner Tool program at AutoZone, you can borrow a specialty tool with no purchase necessary? Choose from over 100 tools to help you get the job done right, no matter how big or small. And right now, save when you buy one Chevron Techron fuel system cleaner and get the second one free. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
But I just want...
big weekend event, the Gun Show, this Saturday and Sunday at the National Guard Armory in Fayetteville. Thousands of guns and knives, ammo, holsters, camo, optics, shooting and hunting supplies, and more. 1805 Wilson Parkway, Saturday from 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 3. The Gun Show, big weekend event. Buy, sell, trade at the National Guard Armory in Fayetteville, Tennessee. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the Gun Show at the National Guard Armory in Fayetteville.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Are you at home, but you kind of wish you weren't? And you should really stick around the house because of reasons?
Jimmy, no baseball in the house!
That's why Buffalo Wild Wings has a new online ordering experience. So when your kid brings home a stray dog, that's actually a coyote, a rabid one. For whatever reason, life requires you to stay put. Get takeout with our new online ordering experience and be where you have to be. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Availability may vary.
305 8th Street invites you to the 5th annual Love Grows Here Recognition Dinner, Thursday, March 15th at 5:30 p.m. Featuring Derek and Julie Tennant from the Love Chromosome. Ticket sales and information at 305 8th street.org. The 5th annual Love Grows Here Recognition Dinner, Thursday, March 15th, 5:30 p.m. at the Jackson Center, 6001 Moquin Drive in Huntsville. We'll see you there.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just $5 and some change for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
Breezy and very cool today. The sky partially sunny, the high at 50. A cold night tonight, clear with a freeze likely early tomorrow morning. The average low around 30. Then for tomorrow and Friday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow 48. Not as cold on Friday, the high at 59. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Freeze. I got stuff growing. I got trees. I got dogwoods that are in bloom. I got the, you know, daffodils are out of the ground. I mean, things are happening. We can't have a freeze.
Isn't that what they call blackberry winter? Is that what this is?
I've never heard that. I heard of Indian summer. I never heard of no damn blackberry winter. What's that?
I don't know. My wife uses that term. She could be making it up. I have no idea.
Where's your wife from?
She's born and raised in Guntersville.
Oh, good girl. I like that. All right, let's get an update with T-Mac, other than where his wife was born. It's a doghouse sports report.
I'm going to spare you the music because we got just like 20 seconds before your music kicks in, but I'll give you a couple things here. A top two recruit from this past year and potential top 10 pick in the NBA draft, Michael Porter Jr., will reportedly play tomorrow in Missouri's second-round matchup in the SEC tournament.
Ooh.
So that's a pretty big development for them. As you know now, Butch Jones appeared at Alabama's Pro Day today wearing Alabama gear, despite Saban mentioning that he is not yet a member of the staff. And finally, the Predators beat the Stars last night 2-0 in Bridgestone for their franchise record 9th consecutive win. Just 66 games into the season, the Preds have earned 95 points. They finished the regular season last year with just 94. I'm Tony Mack. There's a quick Doghouse Sports Report.
Quick Doghouse Sports Report. It's a little quickie. A little quickie. Hey, you know what? We're open lines at the top of the hour. I don't care. I'll talk about anything. I'm going to steer you towards mock drafts, but I don't have to go there.
I know something you want to react to in the top of the hour.
I'll react at the top of the hour.
There you go.
Tom Abraham Show. Right here at 730-1039.
Sports Radio 730-1039. The Ump. The Ump.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Let's just call this Driver Spotlight Wednesday, shall we? Today, the driver of the number 88 is Alex Bowman, and first up I asked him about the road course at Charlotte happening in the fall. How's that going
to
go?
I'm not so sure. I'm interested to see. It'll be interesting. You know, hopefully it puts on a great show for the fans, and that, at the end of the day, that's why we're here racing, is to entertain the fans. So hopefully we do a good job of that. We'll just have to wait and see.
They added it to a NASCAR Heat. You're going to give that a whirl before it comes up?
I'm not sure. I don't play a lot of video games. I spend a lot of time in the simulator. Maybe we'll get it mapped out in there and give it a whirl in there.
You got Peyton Manning as part of your nationwide family. Does he walk around singing that song all the time?
Yeah, I think he does. You know, he's got an earpiece to make sure his, like, pitch and notes are right and everything. So, you know, he's one of the best singers I know. We got to get him to karaoke night one night, just sing the nationwide jingle.
How was he at, I think he was the pace car driver?
Yeah, he was pace car driver at Daytona, which was, it was pretty cool. We kind of had that race surrounded with nationwide stuff, you know. He's the pace car driver, we're on the pole, and then Dale Jr. was I guess, doing Gentlemen Start Your Engines. So that was really, really cool. Cool to be a part of, and drove up next to Peyton and scared him in the pace car. So that was, it was fun to have everybody there.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
What a day for tennis. You ready to play? Is everything all right?
This sinus pressure.
Allegra D knows that allergy congestion can get in the way of enjoying the moment.
Go ahead and practice without me.
Allegra D helps you break through congestion fast. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant for 24 hours of congestion-free breathing.
Whoa, nice volley.
How about another set?
Only if you go easy on me.
Get Allegra D and get back to the moment. Starts working in 1 hour. Available at the pharmacy counter.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I don't mean to brag, kid. I'm a pretty healthy guy. Running a growing business means I'm always running. Not many can keep up with me. But you know who can? Granger. When it comes to getting me the answers I need right when I need them, Granger moves just as fast as I do. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're a good running partner. Because no matter what problem I have or question, Granger's got my back. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site according to ComScore total visits.
Picture streams in our community.
That's where our kids play. And dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.